At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. Too many syllables for that. Too many syllables to sing all around the place. Too many syllables. Hi, everybody. This is Spencer. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F206. And we have some words to get into. We are just about to finish the FRA section. That will be at the beginning of the next episode. And then we're going to move on to some more fun words. So many fun words in the dictionary. There's a lot of fun words in the dictionary. Out of thousands and thousands, there's a good chunk that are fun. Okay. We got to get into the words. I don't know what my sound effect is going to be. The first word in this episode is not a fun word. Mm-mm-mm. It's fratricide. Fratricide. No, not good. Noun from the 15th century. Number one, one that murders or kills his or her own brother or sister, or an individual having a relationship like that of a brother or sister. And an example of that person who you have a relationship like a brother or sister, they would be a countryman, just somebody who is part of your country, maybe a neighbor, just somebody who also is, you know, from the same area, and you kill them. They are like a brother or a sister to you. Then that would be fratricide. Now, obviously, we know that this is from the word that means brother, but the definition is talking about murdering a possible sister as well. And so I want to go to the section that is similar to this about the women, the sisters. Where is it? Where did I find it? It was here we go. We got that. We got that. But I don't see sororicide or sororcide. Why does that word not exist? Because we just are using fratricide for sibling murder? Also, why it says murders or kills? Would that not be the same thing? What is the difference between murdering and killing? These are the things that keep me up at night. Okay, now, number two, the act of a fratricide is a fratricide. So killing somebody that is your sibling or somebody who is like a sibling, that is a fratricide. I shall never perform fratricide because, I have one sister and I don't ever plan to murder her. I think that that's unnecessary. Does not need to happen. She's a good person and she deserves to live a very, very long time. Now, if it gets to a point where she, you know, is in a vegetable state and she's like, Spencer, kill me, I can't deal with this suffering, okay, then I will murder my sister, but only in that one case. Okay, fratricidal, that is an adjective. Now, the etymology, we know it's from frater, which is brother, plus the side suffix, but I think that's it. Just had to read through it real quick. Okay, now, moving on from that not fun word into a word that maybe some people would say is fun, we don't need to comment on the funness of every word in this episode, okay? Okay, great. But first, we must make a sound, and the sound is going to be... Do I like that one? I don't think so. I think we're going to go... Much more fun. I guess I'm focused on the fun today. Okay, so now we have the word Frau, capital F-R-A-W, noun from circa 1813. This is a German married woman, and the synonym is the word wife. This says it is used as a title equivalent to Mrs. So if there is a woman who is married in Germany, you, instead of saying Mrs., what's a last name? Mrs. Smith, that's not a German last name. What's a good German last name? Why can't I think of any? Oh, there's a lot of them out there. Can't think of one. Mrs. Smith, no, it's not Mrs. Smith in Germany. It's Frau Smith. And I believe the male equivalent would be Herr, H-E-R-R. That's the equivalent of Mr. Herr and Mrs. and Frau something, some German last name. Wow, the brain is like, nope, not, I'm not going to give you anything. Anyway, Frau, that's that. This word is, of course, German, and it means either woman or wife. So I guess maybe some women who are not married can also just be called Frau. From the old High German Fraua, which means, interesting, mistress or lady. Lady of the house, but also mistress, which is a different thing than a wife. Akin to the Old English Freya, which means lord. Also from Old High German Fruma, which means advantage. Why that? Also, there's more at the word foremost, which is a little confusing to me. Okay, that is Frau. Some of you listening might be a Frau, but maybe you don't want to even use that word to describe yourself. I don't know. You do what's right for you. Next is fraud. Now, all we did was add a D to the word Frau, and our pronunciation has gone from Frau to fraud. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, the synonyms are deceit and trickery, but specifically, intentional perversion of truth in order to induce another to part with something of value or to surrender a legal right. Doing fraud to get somebody to, you are intentionally lying to get somebody to give you something of value to them or for them to surrender a legal right. What's a good example of fraud? I feel like I should know this, but again, the brain likes not to do things. Example of fraud. Let's give a good example. Here, number one is identity theft, illegally acquiring and using someone else's personal information for financial gain, like opening credit cards or taking out loans in their name. You know, some of these are not doing something, they're not lying to the person directly, but they are lying about the truth about who they are, in this case of identity theft. Yes, I'm really this person, and here, let me take some of their legal rights and take something of value to them, like their literal money. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. There's so many. Credit card fraud, mortgage fraud, insurance fraud, employee fraud, healthcare fraud, debt collection fraud, financial and investment fraud. But then there's a whole bunch that don't even use the word fraud. Ponzi schemes, pyramid schemes, cybercrime. Okay, you can do fraud in all of those different sorts of areas, and my disclaimer is don't. Okay, so that was 1A. Now we have 1B. An act of deceiving or misrepresenting, and the synonym is trick. Haha, I tricked you. I made you think that I was really you in my identity fraud. I got you good. Number 2A. A person who is not what he or she pretends to be. The synonym is imposter. Also, one who defrauds, and the synonym is cheat. So the person that you're such a fraud, you pretend to be this person, but you are such a fraud. You pretend to have such a good time talking in front of the camera and the microphone, but really you are such a homebody. You'd just rather curl up in bed and sleep all day. You are such a fraud. 2B. One that is not what it seems or is represented to be. Now, we're not talking about the imposter or the cheat. This is just in general something that is not what it seems or what is represented to be, like maybe the false morel mushroom is a fraud. You're such a fraud, you false morel mushroom, because you're not a true morel mushroom. You're a false morel mushroom, and you are pretending to be a true morel mushroom. A fraud of nature. Synonyms are the words deception and imposture. So that's similar to impostor, but it is imposture, T-U-R-E. That is a word I don't know if I'm familiar with, but I believe it is related to imposter because it makes sense. Okay, now the etymology doesn't say much. It's from the Latin fraud or fros. Maybe they would say fraud or fraus, but it doesn't say what it means. And so I don't know, but maybe we'll get more information later. Who knows? We'll find out. Maybe not. Next is fraudster. The S-T-E-R is making me think of like a roadster, like a fancy car or a powerful car that can go fast and maybe shoot flames out the back. But this is a fraudster, so I don't know. There must be some funny way to combine those. I'm lying and cheating. I'm lying and cheating and deceiving, going very fast with flames coming out of my butt. Okay, a fraudster is a noun from 1960. It's chiefly British, and it is a person who engages in fraud, and the synonym is cheat. You are a cheat. You are a fraudster. Is this not a word that we use in America? It says it's chiefly British. I guess maybe we don't say it so much, but maybe the British people say this quite a lot. Everybody's a fraudster to them. Fraudulence. Noun from 1601. The quality or state of being fraudulent, which is our next word. Fraudulent. Adjective from the 15th century. This is characterized by, based on, or done by fraud. Characterized by fraud, based on fraud, or done by fraud. And the synonym is deceitful. So if any of those ring true to the situation that you are talking about, I don't know what situation you're talking about. Is there fraud in there, then it's a fraudulent situation. When my identity was stolen, what the person did was very fraudulent. Fraudulently is an adverb, and fraudulentness is a noun. I don't have any fraudulentness because I don't do fraud. It's just not part of my day-to-day habits. No fraud. Okay. Next, we've got. This is interesting. Frocked. Let me check the pronunciation real quick. I believe it's frocked. Frocked. Okay, fascinating. That's not how I wanted to say the word. It is spelled F-R-A-U-G-H-T, frocked. First form, by the way, noun from the 14th century. It is chiefly Scottish, of course. The synonyms are load and cargo. So you got to put the Fracht on the train, on the boat, on the plane, wherever it is, you got to put the Fracht on, and you're shipping it from one place to another. The Fracht. Well, this is a Middle English word, which means freight or load, so it hasn't really changed much. You know, Middle English, maybe Scottish is a little bit closer to Middle English than modern English or modern American is close to Middle English. You know, they seemed like they've kept some of these older words. That's pretty much it for the etymology. Not a whole lot more. But now we must move on to the second form of Fracht, which I believe is pronounced the same way. This one, though, is the transitive verb from the 14th century. Wouldn't you know it?
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's still chiefly Scottish, and the synonyms are load and freight. So this is the action of loading something, freighting something. Why don't you go Fracht the Fracht? Or you got to Fracht the Fracht on the boat while we're Frachting it, shipping it, loading it, freighting it across the world. Fracht, oh, the Fracht has gone all over the world when it was Fracht. Okay, now we got even more. The third form of Fracht. Now this one, though, is pronounced Fraught. There's no K sound in there. It's just Fraught. So is this related to the first two forms? I don't know. We'll find out. Probably not. So this one is the adjective from the 14th century. Number one is archaic. We have 1A and 1B. 1A, the synonym, is laden. L-A-D-E-N. So if you don't know what that means, then you can wait for me to talk about the word laden when I get to the L's in, you know, a number of years. 1B, still archaic. It means well supplied or provided. Oh, we are so stocked up here. We are fraught with goods, fraught with food, fraught with love and people and yay. Number two, we're not archaic anymore. This is full of or accompanied by something specified. What is specified? This is used with the word with. As in the example, a situation fraught with danger. We shipped so much danger over to your situation. We Fracht the Fracht and made your situation fraught with danger. A situation fraught with danger. My current situation is fraught with words. This whole podcast is fraught with words. It's full of words accompanied by words, and the words are the thing specified. Anything else? This room, it's getting warmer here in early June, and so the office is getting warm. So I got the fan going, and so this little office is fraught with wind. Ooh, it's fraught with wind. Okay, what else? We got number three. Causing or characterized by emotional distress or tension. The synonym is uneasy, as in a fraught relationship. Now, I want to know how we got from a situation filled with the thing, it's fraught with the thing, to something that is characterized by emotional distress or tension. The relationship is fraught with emotional distress or tension, but the word took on this new meaning. You know, you could have a situation fraught with something good or bad, it doesn't matter, but somehow it evolved to describing something with emotional distress or tension. I don't understand how that happened. I don't know what happened there. Obviously, I'm not an expert, but there was something that shifted at some point. That's interesting. Yeah, because none of these earlier definitions had anything to do with a negative connotation. It seems like it was, it originally began as just well-provided, well-stocked. And then it became, what's the situation got? It's fraught with this thing. It's stocked with this thing. And then it became, I'm emotionally distressed. Well, my situation is fraught now because my headphone fell out of my head as I accidentally pulled it out, and everything sounded very weird. All right, so that's fraught. I guess it is kind of related to frocked. They kept the k sound in there because it's your situation. You get loaded with stuff, and so that's why it's fraught, and we just change the pronunciation. So yes, they are definitely related. 1, 2, 3, yay. Now we have Fraulein, Fraulein, and it looks like there are the two little dots over the A. Noun from circa 1689. Number one, it would be capitalized. An unmarried German woman. And this is used as a title equivalent to Miss. If you are unmarried in Germany and you are a woman, they will call you Fraulein. If you are married, they will call you Frau. What does the L-E-I-N mean? Maybe the etymology shall tell us. Okay, number two. A German governess is a Fraulein. So yes, of course, this is German, and it is a diminutive of the word Frau, because, of course, unmarried German women are smaller than German women. It's just a known fact. Everybody knows this, and it's very scientific as well. So I guess adding line makes it diminutive, the word diminutive. It's not a shorter version. It's just another version. But I don't know what line means in German, if it means anything, or it's just a different form. What other German words are there that use line at the end as another form? I don't know my German, so I can't not tell you the answer. Now, here's a fun word to say and spell. It is Fraxinella. Fraxinella. Yes, I think that is correct. It is spelled Fraxinella. Fraxinella? Sure. This is a noun from 1611. It is a Eurasian perennial herb of the rue family, with flowers that emit an aromatic flammable vapor in hot weather. Whoa. What? Hey, now, everybody. Who's the going what? This is called also gas plant because it releases a gas that is flammable? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, the species name is Dictamnus albus. Dictamnus albus. I think that's close enough, and I need to know. So it's a Eurasian perennial herb of the rue family. So it's, I guess, in Europe. At least that's where it's from. This is a new Latin phrase, Fraxinella, diminutive of the Latin fraxinus, which means ash tree. And there's more at the word birch. So I believe now, like I can imagine a birch, which I guess is similar to ash tree. And so now I must look up a picture of a Fraxinella because I need to know why is this related to ash tree and birch and just what does it look like? And so I won't go, oh my gosh, there's a video of somebody lighting fire to one of these things. I guess I might have to put this in the... Oh, it's also called the burning bush. Ooh, that's interesting. So they took a match right up to this plant, and then it sort of just does a little flame, not an explosion quite, but it definitely travels because there's this gap. But it doesn't, it's not burning the plant. It just follows the vapor. I wonder, this is fascinating. Yeah, we need to put this video in the show notes and maybe a link to this thing. I don't know. I'm sure there's some explanations. Ooh, that's a little bit of a bigger plant. Fascinating. Fascinating. I never heard of this before. Dictamnus albus, the Fraxinella plant. Burning bush. It's also called dittany and gas plant. I think I like gas plant. Okay, now we got to go to Fray, F-R-A-Y, first form, transitive verb from the 14th century. This one is archaic. The synonym is scare, also to frighten away. I'm fraying you. Go, run away, fray. Boo, fray. Okay, so this is from Middle English, freien, which is short for afraien, which means to afray, which I guess probably means scaring away. And I'm sure afraid is, you know, they're right there. They're siblings. They have maybe afraid performed fratricide on afray because we don't really use it so much. The second form of fray is a noun from the 14th century. This is a usually disorderly or protracted fight, struggle, or dispute. Okay, so it is a fight, struggle, or dispute that is protracted and usually disorderly. Protracted makes me think of that it's shortened, it's lessened, maybe. A fray. We're having a little fray here. Don't worry about it. Just we're having a little fray. It's protracted, so it won't last long. We are a little disorderly. It's fine. It's a fight, struggle, or dispute. I tried to fray them by scaring them, and they didn't like that. And so they started arguing with me. The third form of fray is a verb from the 15th century, starting with transitive, 1a. To wear by or as if by rubbing. Oh, like you're wearing away. The synonym is fret, F-R-E-T, which didn't we have in the previous episode the synonym fret somewhere? I shall look quickly. Here we go. There's more at the word fret for the word frass, which was debris or excrement produced by insects. Why? And so then this one, this fret, was wearing away. Oh, an example of the wearing away would be the edge of a cloth. You're wearing away the edge of a cloth by or as if by rubbing. You're rubbing the edge of that cloth so much and you are fraying it, and then it will create a fray, which I believe will be the fourth form. Yes. Interesting. But fret, I don't know fret in this context. 1b, to separate the threads at the edge of. To separate the threads at the edge of a thing. And maybe, what, are you doing this manually? Are you like, ooh, I'm going to separate this thread from this thread. And oh, yes, I'm fraying the edge of this cloth. It's going to be so frayed when I'm done with it. Dealing with tiny little yarn. Okay, now, number two. The synonyms are strain and irritate, as in tempers, became a bit frayed. Oh, when we had the fray, when our relationship was fraught and we had a fray, tempers got a little bit frayed. They became a little strayed and irritated. Our tempers got so irritated with each other. But we did not get to the point of doing any fratricide. That's too much. That's too much. We just had a little bit. Things got fraught. Fraught and frayed. Okay, now intransitive number one, to wear out or into shreds. And I believe this is the cloth that is fraying. That cloth is wearing out or it is wearing into shreds. I'm just going to wear some shreds. Some cloth shreds. Number two, to show signs of strain, as in fraying nerves. My nerves. Look at my nerves. Look at my nerves. They're showing signs of strain. I can't deal. They're being frayed. My nerves are all frayed. They're afraid of the boogeyman. All right. Any etymology? This is from Anglo-French, frayer, which means to rub. From the Latin, fricare. Does not say what that means. And there's more at the word friction. Yes, so it requires friction when you're rubbing away. Like if I just did this for hours and hours and days, maybe my fingers would get frayed. I would rub away all of the skin on my hands. All I'm doing is just rubbing my palms together. And that would very quickly, I think, get irritated, painful. So I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done fraying for the day. The fourth form of fray is a noun from 1630. This is a raveled place or worn spot. And where might this be? Raveled or worn? It might be on fabric. Well, sometimes. Do I have any examples in my shirt armpits? I don't see any. This is very good. Sometimes they get a little frayed. They get worn out because, you know, these muscles are so big that they just the shirt just can't handle it anymore. But yeah, you know, every once in a while, the bottoms, the hems of the shirt, the sleeve, or maybe at the bottom part of the shirt will get frayed. You know, I got old shirts that are getting a little frayed like that, but nothing too bad. I should probably retire them, pack them away, because don't need to wear them anymore, I guess. And I got too many. All right. So that's that one. And now we go to the very last word in this episode, which is fraying with an ing. Noun from 1637. This is something rubbed or worn off by fraying. So the thing is the fraying, the thing that was rubbed off or worn off. By fraying is the fraying? Okay. Need more context on that one a little bit, but I guess it makes sense. So, it is now time to pick a word of the episode. This episode has one great word. This word is really great. Is it great? Is it just big? Does Spencer just really want to talk about it? Or does he want to sing about it? Maybe Spencer's gonna sing a word. Which word's it gonna be? Today we had fratricide, frau, fraud, fraudster, fraudulence, fraudulent, fraught, fraulein, fraxinella, fraying. Those were all the words. Now, which one do I think needs to be the word of the episode? Well, definitely not fratricide. Let's see. None of these were, you know, particularly big to me, so I shall pick fraxinella as the word of the episode. Oh, boy. Sing a song about fraxinella, Spencer. Okay, let's do that. Fraxinella. It's also called gas plant. Fraxinella. It's also called gas plant. The plant that produces grass. Nope. The plant that produces gas. The plant that grows in grass. Maybe there's grass nearby the gas plant. The gas plant makes gas and you can light it on fire. I don't know. It's just a little musical-ish. Fraxinella. Okay, we should stop. This is going to be the end of the episode because I don't have another movie to tell you about. We just have kept on watching more Taskmaster. We are watching series 18 and 19 at the same time. We're just bouncing back and forth. And it's quite fun and enjoyable, and we like this show very much. And that is going to be the it. That is, oh boy, slow down. That is going to be it for this episode, this recording. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.